Welcome back into our Wednesday edition of Sports Talk. Getting ready for Saints preseason finale. The final one coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock in the Caesars Superdome. Not a noon start. 1 o'clock.
You know, to tell you the truth, Steve,
I don't mind it at all. A little later for the pregame coverage.
No, you know what I wish? Now there's all control. What's Eastern? What's Central? Pacific and all that. Mountain time. I wish. I don't know. Give us a little more time in the morning to tailgate whatever and be prime. I'd rather the kickoff would be 1 instead of 12 noon. Wouldn't you rather Central? I like the 1 o'clock kickoff against the Titans this preseason, but I would rather it. You have the post game and all, because a night game we get off till 1 in the morning. But I would like a 1 o'clock kickoff instead of 12 noon. Would you be? Because
hour just to get, like you said, to get ready for the game.
Because when I played on the East Coast, when I played with Atlanta,
right.
And stuff. It was on Eastern time, so the kickoff would be at 1 o'clock. So I always like that. I like that better than 12 noon. But they, again, you just got to win. I mean, just whatever.
And then you think, what is it, West Coast? Time starts.
No, the noon kickoff would be 10 a.m. over there. They don't do that. They wouldn't do a noon kickoff.
But like if you're waking up just to watch football.
To watch football.
Boom,
yeah,
you got games on at 10 a.m.
Yeah. No, but when you're actually playing, you might be chomping at the bit because you're on Central Time Zone or East. When you're playing like the 49ers or you're playing the Rams, the kickoff would be like never at 12 West Coast. It'd be at 1, which is like 3 in Louisiana. So I kind of like that. I always had good games in Anaheim against the Rams. I like that. I felt well rested and everything. But that's when the kickoff. So that 1 o'clock to me is ideal. Not too late, not too early. About right.
The Saints game on Sundays at 1 o'clock. The Caesars Superdome practice Friday also at 1 o'clock. We had a noon start today. Coach Dennis Allen addressed the media. His opening statement on Tuesday session on how the workout went.
I thought our guys responded, to practice this morning in a good way after, it's kind of hard on a short turnaround. We practiced a lot, last night after coming back from California and to come back this morning and have meetings and get back out on the practice field in full pads. They kind of pushed through it today. So it was good work. Still a lot of, ones on ones or good versus good. There at the end, we got a couple of, Tennessee carded looks. it'll be kind of the, same routine a little bit. We're kind of getting a little bit more into a regular season type of schedule. Not necessarily doing all the same things that we would do during the regular season from a, game plan and preparation standpoint, but yet wanting our guys, coaching staff, to kind of get used to what it's going to be like during a regular season week. So we're not doing that for the first time, getting ready for Carolina. So it's kind of what we got going on.
That's the first clip in the training camp sound bank brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American. Cajun Cannon, the black and gold, getting ready for obviously preseason game, the finale, but there's not much game prep going on right now. They're just trying to, right now, to me at least, figure out where are these roster spots going to go with cuts coming soon.
No, it's still highly competitive. There's nothing etched in stone. Even next Tuesday, after the game on Sunday, what is the date? What's next Tuesday? That's when they have the 53-man roster, but that's not going to be etched in stone. That's going to be very fluid.
Because other teams in the NFL releasing players that you might end up having. Because you think you've made this roster.
You might be sweating it out.
It's not the final roster.
Yeah, you might be sweating it, and it's like, oh, you call your parents.
I made it.
You call your parents, you call your wife, your girlfriend. Oh, I made the team. Then you didn't even last 24 hours.
Oh, the Saints just picked up a running back.
Yeah, and then they tell you, we're going in a different direction. We want to give you an opportunity to see what's out there for you. We might bring you back.
Right.
And you think like, man, boy, talk about feeling dejected and deflated. It's not like, okay, Tuesday, 53-man roster. That's the initial 53-man roster. But like I said, that's not etched in stone.
One of the things we saw yesterday at the Tulane practice, Bobby, was Oli Udo getting some reps at right tackle with the first team. That continued into today. Not a surprise now, as Coach Dennis Allen says, what's the deal with Udo and Penning splitting first team reps at right tackle?
Well, look, I think it's one of those deals where we want to get Oli some reps in there with the ones, see what that looks like. You know what I mean? I would still give the advantage to Trevor right now. But much like I've said in some of the other position battles that we're not quite settled on yet, I'm still waiting on the one guy that's going to jump out at me and say, man, this is my freaking job, you know? And
amen.
I think when it happens, I think we're all going to know when it happens. We're all going to see it. And so I'm still kind of waiting for that moment right now.
We've heard that from DA about the safety position, now here at the right tackle as well. Well, who's going to step up and claim it?
Well, listen, just...
because Trevor's left the door open, obviously, for Oli to get it.
Yeah, you just got to take the bull by the horns, however the cliche, however you do it. I just go, okay, this is my job. And just have so much confidence that you're going to have that swagger to be able to do it. And the one thing, you know what I like about Udo? I say Udo.
Udo, yeah.
Udo, not Udo. Udo. Now, you know, we didn't really see him. You know, we're all excited. You know, after the draft, OTAs, and you have the mandatory minicamp. You know, we didn't see him because he's trying to be ready for training camp. And, you know, he's coming over in free agency. But what I like right now over Trevor Penning, you know why? Because he's freaking played.
I was going to say game experience.
Yes, he's played.
As you would say, skins on the wall.
Yes, he has started the equivalent of a full season at guard for the Vikings. But, Bobby, that's a guard. I don't know. He started games. Now, that's the only thing it's not tackle. It was mainly a guard, but he's played some tackle. You know, if you look, I want to say at the top of my head, I want to say he's had like, Steve, you get crazy. I want to say 50-some starts. I have to check that out.
Okay.
But a guard, that might be wrong. With that, but I know it was a number of starts for Trevor Penning. You can't really no. You know, was the one was Lucas Patrick. That had Lucas Patrick on the brain. He had 54 career starts, and like Shane Lemieux had 12. So when you look at that, so no, it was a full season equivalent of a full season with the Vikings starting. So that's 17 games. So whatever, a lot more.
Nine games at tackle.
Okay.
And then he had guard 24 guard.
Oh, that many? So more than a season. So
34, I'm sorry.
Oh, so 34 total.
34 at guard.
Okay.
43 total.
43 total. So yeah, limited at tackle, but still has NFL starts.
Right.
That's like way. That's why you look at even Lucas Patrick. He's dealing with cramps at left guard. They're going with guys that okay, we got to win now that have actually played. They might not be the best of the best, but they might be better or more experienced than who they're competing against.
So they're losing less.
So therefore, you can trust them more. You know, it might not be like you know how Dennis Allen really trusts McCoy and Cesar Ruiz right now,
right?
No, I'm not saying they're going to get at that level, but at least they're journeymen or experienced starters that I would tend to trust them more than Trevor Penning or Sal DeVary right now. Now, the one who hasn't played and we trust because he's proven it in practice is Fuaga. And I hope his back's all right. I'd be interested to see if he plays Sunday.
We saw him out last night at least, you know, doing some running around with the team.
But you know, if he's healthy, Dennis Allen. If he's healthy, we're going to play him, or at least play him a series or two, or because you have like a mini bye before the first game against Carolina. Because
live bullets, as they say, right? You want to get that more for him?
Yeah, because they're a rookie. I mean, he's coming from NFL, and then no, it's for real now. So, that's still a fluid situation. Who's the starting five going against Carolina on the offensive line? We don't know. I mean, it's just that's
to be determined.
Yes, exactly.
One last one from Dennis Allen. He was asked, did Gary Kubiak have any influence on the hiring of Clint? And do you recall coaching against Gary Kubiak at all?
Yeah. I mean, I remember, I think it was 2009, we went there and practiced against them in training camp. And it was hot, tough, competitive, you know. I think there was a few fights in that deal, if I can remember correctly. But but I thought that was part of developing, you know, the type of team that we were going to be that year. I think some of that, you know, comes into play. I mean, obviously, you know, you're hiring a guy to do the job, all right, and you're hiring – I hired Clint. I didn't hire Gary. I hired Clint to do the job. But certainly I think his pedigree would lead me to believe that you know, he has a chance to be successful at doing that. So that was part of the equation, but I would say the majority of the equation was based on how I felt about Clint and what I think he can do. But it didn't hurt that, you know, I knew Gary and had an opportunity to go against some of his offenses. And I mean, if you go back and look at his career, man, it's pretty impressive in terms of the offensive rankings of the offenses that he was involved with. So I'm hopeful we'll be able to have the same type of success.
It's kind of like with athletes. Yeah, that pedigree you have. Yeah. You know what, you know, dad was a coach.
Yeah.
He's been brought up and knows, I guess,
the ups and downs of what it takes.
Well,
you know, it's all about relationships and who you connect with. But like you said, no, I hired the son. I didn't hire the daddy. And you know what? Unbelievable. You know what? This goes back. You know, is the connection they have also? Kubiak, the dad, Gary, and coach. When you think about this, Dennis Allen, Texas A&M. See, all of that comes into play. You know what? My connection with Clint Kubiak's dad, Gary Kubiak. He was John Elway's backup when we waxed their ass in the Superdome 42-0 with Denver, 1988. He was the quarterback behind, you know, he's unbelievable, Super Bowl winning coach. But he was John Elway's backup when we waxed him 42-0. I don't think we punted that game. And so I know Gary Kubiak. I know. I'm familiar with him. He was solid backup. You always know he'd be like a good coach. But he's an outstanding coach. He won the Super Bowl, you know. And then you look at Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan. You look at the coach. It's amazing when you cross paths with her. Like, I know, kind of like the daddies and all. But, you know, you look at Kyle Shanahan. Like, he's like, oh, he's the new guru. But you look at his dad. I told you that yesterday. He was the offensive coordinator for Joe Montana, Steve Young and all. And he was my coach in the Pro Bowl, 1994. So it's amazing how you cross paths and, you know, you interact with one another, but
things change but stay the same, as they say.
Yeah. No, like Dennis said, no, if Clint can have the success like his dad, Gary Kubiak, if Clint Kubiak can have the success like his dad, Gary Kubiak, no, not only will he be an outstanding offensive coordinator, you know what's going to happen? He'll be on Coach Allen's coaching tree, maybe, if you're going to give Coach Allen a little credit, and have a chance to be a head coach. Then he will be a head coach somewhere else. So,
a guy that was back in action last night, everybody was happy to see, Juwan Johnson, the tight end. We're going to continue our training camp sound bank brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American. And seeing Juwan out there, how close was he, this target date for him, to when he finally returned?
Ahead of schedule. I mean, I already knew that, you know, once I got the surgery, I was going to be back faster than anticipated. If you give me 13 weeks, I'm going to be back in 8. If you gave me 8 weeks, I was going to be back in 4. And I think that's more so of a mindset thing. I think some people take the date as in, you know, this is when I'm going to be back, but I always push the envelope. I think it's more of a mental thing than anything physical. When you believe you can do something, you're going to be able to do it.
Juwan Johnson, saying I was going to come back earlier than expected. He had that mindset, and I guess you love to hear that, because so many times you feel like, you know, with people dealing with injuries, sometimes it's like, are they milking that? Why is it taking so long?
Well, no, you got to be able to run.
Exactly.
You know, people are like, he ain't milking nothing. You got to be able to run. You got to be healed. You can't be, like, limping, you know, hippity-hoppity. You know,
the hobbling tight end, right.
Yeah, no. We need him to be a big part of what we're doing. I'm going to tell you what, as much as we count on Chris Olave, we need Juwan Johnson to do something.
He's just up there, too.
Without a doubt. If you look at it, I said this earlier on the show. I said this yesterday. It took him till week 17 to eclipse 50 yards receiving in a game. Well, I think he needs to eclipse 50 yards in a game, at least half a dozen plus, not just one or two. How about you do that half the season? So let's say you're playing 17 games. I don't know, do it 7 or 8 times. I mean, I think he needs to be that, have that much of an impact with that relationship with Derek Carr. And you know why? I always tell you this. Oh, we got to throw away down the field and all. It's good for those chunk plays and all. But with the tight end, it's a short distance. We ain't blocking nobody this game, whatever. And Derek Carr got to get rid of the ball. It has to come out. That's why you got to be able to trust your tight end. Now, the Carr got to be accurate. It might be a simple pass, but the defense gets discouraged. You think they would have had a sack, but no, you might have only a plus 7 or plus 8. But it's a positive gain, and that discourages the defense when you're able to utilize that quarterback tight end connection.
We'll hear more from Juwan Johnson when we get back from this break. Stay tuned right here on WWL Saints Radio.